Good morning. Wow. Here we go. We're still staying on the same new normal for us, isn't it? It's such a trip. I always seem to work better in rhythms. And so I've been trying to desperately find my new rhythms over the last couple weeks. And some of them I've gotten down, some of them not. But I do just want to say, regardless of screwed up rhythms or not, I'm so thankful for the church. I'm so thankful that now more than ever, it's obvious our dire need for the body of Christ and the family of God to help us sustain and to grow, not only just sustain, but to grow and to see the kingdom come. And I'm very excited that I get to do that with you. I love you all dearly. Miss your faces. Can't wait till we're together again. But I'm very thankful that we live in an age where we can still do this, still do community together. And so I pray that your hearts have been just really reaching up to heaven and then really reaching around to your scenario. And then reaching out, maybe calling people, asking people to come and do our stream with us. Regardless of what it is, we just pray that you're being faithful and moving forward. And so we're glad you're here. And man, I just love you. Can't say it enough. So last week we began a little mini series through the season called Outrageous Love in Overwhelming Seasons. And today we're going to talk about that some more. We're going to continue on with part two that I call Love in the Fullness of God. And so I believe that in this season, the Lord is calling us deeper. Remember, we talked about the opportunities that are in the middle of this storm. I believe that God is saying, come here, and it's clear. And so he's calling us to have more of a truer, more engaging relationship with him. And I believe for all of us, whether we were living on fire or we were lukewarming or we were under the radar, whatever we were doing, this is a season where the King of Heaven is saying, come here, rely on me, see my goodness, surrender yourself to me. And so as his sons and daughters, he's calling us. This is a perfect opportunity to draw near again to the Father. As the body of Christ, the church, he's calling us closer, draw near to him. And as his people who share the love of Jesus with our families and our neighbors in this nation and the nations, God is calling us closer. And as we talked about last week, if you miss the love of God, and I don't mean just knowing the love of God, I'm talking about being baptized in the love of God. There's a very big difference between knowing about the love of God and being in the know of the love of God, how it totally encompasses your life. And so last week, we just talked about a few of these beautiful truths, which are still just amazing. One, that God is love. That's him. That's his nature. God's love is unconditional. We don't earn it. We don't have to try to keep it. It's ours. It's a free gift that he gives us. His love's eternal. It lasts forever. Thousands of years from now, we're going to be sitting in the fullness of God's eternal love. It's the love of a father. We're all adopted sons and daughters, and he loves us in the truest love of a father there has ever been known, and it's sacrificial. The Lord sacrificed to give us this love. And so that huge love, and we brought to this boiling point, and was, why is that necessary to be baptized in a season like this? Because it really dramatically changes every part of our lives when we can walk in the fullness of the love of God, especially in a season like this, and why this is so important when coronavirus continues to rage. Our country, it's getting worse, it's growing bigger, and in the middle of it, nothing has changed for God. Nothing is out of control for him, and those who belong to him aren't given a spirit of fear and timidity, but a spirit of power. And so we'll just talk again about 1 John 4:18, that there is no fear in love, but perfect love cast out fear. So that once that hurdle between us and the Lord has been broken by the cross, we don't have to fear him in a way. We don't have to fear the judgment of God coming. We are free from it. And then everything this side of heaven, it shouldn't own us. It shouldn't stay rooted in us in fear. And so that's why I feel like this has been a series in due time for us. And so these things, fullness of God is a pillar for the heart of a man and woman. There's a lot of us who continue to live in the know, but it's time to walk in the baptism of God's love and his fullness. And so from our minds to our hearts, so we can live in the fullness. And again, I'm going to say it again and again and again until this thing's over and then 1,000 times after. This season, for those reasons, is a gift because it draws us into Him and His love. And I don't want to walk out of this thing just by the seat of my pants. I want to be engaging God. We can engage God to say, yes, Jesus, I want to walk with you in what you're doing. I want to glean everything you say. I want to see Romans 8:28 fleshed out. God works all things for the good of those who love Him, who are called by His name. I'm called by Your name. And so I want to walk in this journey, and I want this to be a season. No matter what happens on the external and the internal, I'm changed forever. Amen. And that should be all of our hearts. And so today's text is an interesting one and just lines this out even more with the love of God and experiencing the fullness of God. And so today our text is Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. Again, Ephesians chapter 3, 14 through 19. And if you're reading along in your Bible, you can turn there and hopefully you can use this week as a study point. And so let me read that for us. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all of the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Man, Paul is just throwing out some heavies for the Ephesian church and for us. And so I'd like to break this down just a little bit, just verse by verse, and just talk about this and how it pertains to us in this season. So we're going to look at the first two verses in that. And so I'll just remind you, for this reason, I bow my knee before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. And so Paul, when you see something that says for this reason, it means he's pointing to something. It's kind of like a therefore. What is it therefore? You got to go backwards. And so Paul says for this reason, and then everything else flows out of that from here. So we want to go back and look. And Paul's just talking about a very sweet subject. The book of Ephesians is amazing for just the enlightenment of the goodness of God. And so it goes back and he says this in Ephesians 3 verse 1, he points back. And so there's just a few nuggets back there I just want to pull out of what happened in the last two chapters that Paul is using to be his platform to move on for this beautiful text. And so Ephesians 2, 4 through 10 says this, but God being rich in mercy, because of His great love, which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ by grace. You have been saved and raised up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming age He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It's a gift from God, not a result of your works, so that no one may boast. But we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Later on in Ephesians 2, 19 through 22, Paul continues to say, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Amen. Built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone. In Him, the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In Him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. So here's what Paul, you can't miss this. So Paul's saying, for this reason, I bow my knee to the Father. Well, the reason was this, the goodness of God, the glory of God, the bigness of God, the power of God, the love of God, the grace of God. It says it over and over in this thing, His mercy, His great love, how we've been made together in Christ Jesus by grace, raised up from the dead, immeasurable riches, by grace through faith, gift of God, no longer strangers and aliens, citizens with saints, foundation of the apostles and the prophets, whom which Jesus is the cornerstone. And we've been built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. By the way, when we pray, man, it's always so sweet to start with the goodness of God and reminding ourselves as we pray to start with thanksgiving and just remind our heart and give Him thanks for His goodness. And that's the catalyst. That's a catalyst of His love for us to be reminded. And it's a catalyst in times like these that when we lift our heads to heaven, we should always start with thanks regardless of what's going on because He's good. I'll say amen to that. So then this is so significant for us. And so from there, Paul is praying. This is a prayer that he's sharing that he's had for the Ephesians church, which transposes over onto us. So he says, I bow my knees before the Father from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. So he said, for these reasons, God's goodness, His glory, I bow my knee before the Father. And you can see a few things there about his conversation and what he's having. He's praying on his knees. It's a sense of humility. He's praying to the Father. He's putting himself in his place and giving recognition to the Father in heaven, the one who is the authority, and to from whom every family in heaven on earth is named, God over everything. And so Paul kneels to this God above heaven, and in this prayer is so critically important. And I would say again, in this season, prayer, connecting with the Father, talking to the God of heaven, we all need to be on the uptick and hitting our knees like never before. John 14, 13 through 14 says, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Man, starting with prayer, we ask the King of heaven and He does it. That's why prayer is so critically important. So in verse 16, Paul goes on to say this, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being. And so this is great. So if we look at the end of this thing, what it says was, it talks about strengthened with the power through the Holy Spirit. To get there, though, you got to go back to the beginning of that verse, according to the riches of His glory. I read this the other day. God's glory is the sum of all of His attributes, or everything that makes Him glorious, by Hodge. It's a wonderful thing. And so here's the deal. Paul is praying, not according to our goodness, not according to our worthiness. He's saying this. He's praying, God, according to Your goodness, according to Your riches. This isn't about us doing better. But listen, the point is not that God doesn't lack any resources. According to His glory, He has it all. He's worthy of it all because He is all. He is supreme. He is infinite. He is perfect. He is just. He's the one we need by His glory to fill our hearts. We need a supernatural feeling of the fullness and the presence and the touch of God, because on our own, we just can't do it. We can't do seasons like these on our own, or anything in our life in our own. And so, Paul makes this, Brian Bill, I just had this comment, this guy I like to study from, Brian Bill says, Paul makes three requests, not according to our ability to receive, but according to God's ability to give. In other words, Paul does not want us to experience a portion of God, but to experience the limitless supply of God Himself. Out of God's glorious riches, He will give and give and give. Philippians 4:19, interesting text. It says, and my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Paul saying, God, Lord, accomplish through Your glorious riches. And that's what we need. We need the glory of the Lord in this deal. And so the second part of that is in God's riches and His glory. And then he says this, grants you to you be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being. And so if you read in the scriptures, you find this inner being. Some people refer to it as the inner man. And you know, people go back and forth on what it is. But it's just simple. I just think it's what we would call our soul. It's this living thing inside of us. Some people refer to it as your heart. So it's like the soul is the center of our will. It's your emotions. It's our thought processes and your motives. And we know that without Jesus, the heart of man is wicked and it's divisive and it's evil. We see that in Mark chapter 7, verse 21 through 23. For from within, Out of the heart of man come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All of these things, evil things, come from within, and they defile a person. So we're not praying by God's grace that we in the flesh would be made strong. Paul is praying for us in a way that we be made strong in the spirit. And so in our flesh, we have the attempts of man. We've got white knuckling. We've got sexual brokenness, deceit. Our worry and our fear is bred in that place by the inner man without the kingdom of God. And that's why we need this inflow in a season, in every season in our lives, and critically to lean on in times like this, where we need not the spirit of man, not our inner man to lead us, that flesh that we're fighting on the inside, but we need the spirit. And that's the prayer, power of the spirit. And so we have the spirit of God living inside of us. Every single one of us who call Jesus Lord and have made him our everything. The scripture says we are the dwelling place of God. The spirit of God moves into us inside of our heart. And then the things that flow out in seasons like these. And by the way, it's true in seasons of great persecution and pressing and clamping, what you're living by on the inside will come out and make itself known. And here's the beautiful thing about that. If you're having good fruit, releasing that of your heart right now, praise God, keep going. You're not there yet, but keep going. If you're not, and you're finding yourself having a lot of things that even surprise you about yourself, okay, take it to the Lord. Go in grace. Say, Jesus, renew my heart. Lord, help me. The Spirit of God gives us supernatural strength to overcome the inner man inside of us. So Paul's prayer, strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being. Amen. And so 2 Corinthians 4:16 continues to talk a little about the same subject. So don't lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Thank God that he who began a good work in us, it won't be done until the return of Christ Jesus. We're not done yet. We're in a process. God is weeding and harvesting out the things of the inner man, and we are called to live by the Spirit, and we should be praying for that. And so in verse 17, Paul continues and he says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. I'm going to stop right there for a minute. So through the strengthening of our inner self through the Spirit, he goes here and he says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So let's talk about that with a minute. Dwelling of Christ in us and faith. There's a connection there before we move on. Christ is in the heart of every believer. We see that in John 14:23. Jesus' own words say this. Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. So when you are his, you've surrendered your life, man, the God of heaven is in us by his Spirit. But what about dwelling? There's a play here on words of, it's a deeper meaning, okay? And so through faith, to dwell the word is a permanent dwelling, not just a one-time visit. And so we talk about this a lot, like when we, and it always angers me when we ask Jesus to come live in our heart. I like to call it when we ask for the presence of God because he is Lord of our lives, because we have laid down our lives for him. We ask him to come, but that's not a one-time gig. Every single day of our lives, we want the God of heaven to dwell deeply inside of us. It's not just a salvation idea, like day by day, by day, by day, by day. Stephen J. Cole says, Paul is talking about something more than Christ indwelling us at the point of salvation. He is talking about Christ being at home in our hearts. See, the doorway of Christ dwelling in our hearts isn't just inviting him in. It's far beyond that. It's giving him the keys and the deed to your heart and to your life. And he wants all of our hearts on a daily basis. This is a daily thing in our hearts through faith dwelling in us. And I remember one time, this played out for me in a context. I remember we were at World Mandate one time, this missions conference that we all go to, if you don't know what that is. This girl came up to me and she said, she spoke a word to me. She's got a word from the Lord. And she said, hey, the Lord just spoke a word over me about house. And he said this, he's glad the door's open and he's glad that he's invited into the living room. But he wants in all of the rooms and all of the rooms to take out the brokenness and the trash. He wants all of the rooms. And I started thinking, I'm like, well, that's a little interesting. And then the more I thought about it, the more I prayed, the more God revealed to me, like, there are, speaking about this dwelling place of God, it's like this. It's if you went to go buy a house today and, you know, you went and purchased it and the stipulation of the house was you can have the keys, you can have the deed, you can have ownership, but there is a room in the back that was not yours and you do not get to go in and out of there. It belongs to somebody else, but you have everything else around it. What would you do? Would you feel like you had proper ownership? Would you be able to fix it up the way you wanted to? And yada, yada, yada. You get what I'm saying? The same thing happens with Jesus in our hearts. We start to compartmentalize. And God wants every part of our heart, every key to every door. And the things that are easy to give up and the things that are horribly hard to give up, he wants them. And the point is why? To make us miserable? No. No, to clear out the brokenness that, so he could come move in and dwell in every room in the house. And what's the connection to faith in that? The whole thing to unlocking the entire house for the Lord is through faith. It's faith. And here's the deal. Faith is rooted in trust. And the reason why we compartmentalize and the reason why we keep certain rooms locked is because either we're just ashamed and we don't want to open the door, which, by the way, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus because of the cross, or we don't want him to rummage through our stuff. We want to hide that stuff. We want to keep that stuff. We're not ready to let go of that stuff. And in the end, it takes faith to let go. And let's personalize this. It takes faith to get rid of hatred of people that hate you, to forgive others, to takes faith to go out and become a person that gives consistently and serves of their time and lays, the future of their children down in God's hands instead of trying to continue to just pour everything into them and, you know, just work the system and idolize our own kids. It takes faith to do that. Faith is fleshed out in obedience. And your faith is shown. All of our faith is shown real when obedience reigns. So it takes faith to let him in every part of the house. But when he's in every part of the house, he has the deed to the entire place. And I guarantee you, nobody can flip that house like Jesus can. Amen. So that you, the end of that text, in verse 17 says that you being rooted and grounded in love. So we have this amazing prayer where, you know, faith is involved in Jesus dwelling by the Spirit in us, and which equates to that you being rooted and grounded in love. So critically important for us, rooted and grounded in love. Your roots grow. You think of roots that grow down deep, that when storms come, you can weather the storm and you're not going to get knocked over, even though you're missing a few leaves. Grounded, like on the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Like you're rooted. You're okay when storms come in life, be it baby mama issues or whatever it is, busted stuff with your kids or coronavirus. We're grounded and we're rooted in his love. Moving on to verse 18 and 19. Paul says this, he continues on, that you may have, being rooted and grounded in love, that you may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. It's the crescendo of Paul's prayer. And like Jesus, that word comprehend, it's more than just knowing. That word is like this complete consumption of understanding. And so that the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, we could break out in every one of those words and spend the next couple hours exegeting that. And there's good stuff in that. But just for simplicity's sake, it is the limitless, limitless, limitless love of God. That you would know the limitless love of God. It's so beyond everything. Kent Hughes said, a love that's wide enough to embrace the world, a love which is long enough to last forever. Spurgeon said, it is so long that our old age cannot wear it out, so long your continual tribulations can't exhaust it. Your successive temptations shall not drain it dry, like eternity itself knows no bounds. It's a love that's high enough to take sinners to heaven. It's a love that is deep enough to take Christ into the very depths and valleys of the lowest sinner. It's a love that is bigger than any addiction. It's a love that's beyond any abuse. And it's surely a love that's bigger than any coronavirus. Paul's prayer is that we would understand the depth and the deep, unending love of God. And I love the end of that when it talks about to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Isn't that funny how it says that? It says, even though it surpasses knowledge, it's nothing you can comprehend. People who don't know Jesus can't comprehend it. We don't understand it's from our minds, a cerebral point. We don't understand the fullness of it, but here's what it is. But we can know it. I mean, here's a point, man. If you don't know, this is for all of us. If we don't know the all-encompassing love of Jesus, you can. You don't just have to keep wandering around thinking, does he love me? Does he love me? Have I messed up again? Am I a good enough son? Am I a good enough daughter? Man, you need to pray for the fullness of God's love, the fullness of Jesus' love for you to come over you. And it's something that we're all walking into. Honestly, that's a part of faith in the journey of growing into your Christendom, is that you must find a way to ask God to tear down the walls, just like Paul is praying over the Ephesians, that the fullness of his love, that we would understand, we would see the breadth of it and the hugeness of it that's beyond just normal thought, but we would absolutely know the love of Christ Jesus. And my prayer is for that for you and for myself. And the very end of the text says this, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. The whole progression in Paul's prayer ramps up into this last line, that you'd be filled with the fullness of God. Y'all, there's such a difference in knowing about the love of God and walking in the fullness of God. It's got to be a part of our prayer life. It's got to be a part of us longing, asking and pleading and living by the Spirit and obedience that God would give us that. It's a fullness that fills every area of your heart, every broken memory. It delivers us from addictions, from fear in seasons like these, and pride. Adam Clark, this great British theologian, said, among all great sayings in this prayer, this is the greatest. He says, to be filled with God is a great thing. To be filled with the fullness of God is still greater. But this says, but to be filled with all the fullness of God utterly bewilders the sense and confounds the understanding. And I heard a good picture of this. You know, when you think about it, we stand on the beach and we look at this huge ocean. Oh, how could we ever take in all of that, this fullness thing? The idea is in this, it's like we're a bucket and we're dipped into the goodness of God, into our capacity. We are full. And the more we grow, we get fuller and fuller. And when we go and be with him, to walk in the fullness of God. And when you're full of the things of God, the things of death move out. There's no room for them. When we fill ourselves with God's word and with prayer and the people of God, and then things like, if you focus, just listen, just why when you worship, do you get peace that just starts to happen in your heart naturally? It's because when we focus on the glory of God, the love of God, the peace of God, the fullness of God, his sacrifice for us, those things have to move out. Well, and then you say, well, that's great, but that means I'd have to do that all the time to be able to walk around and quit being a mess. And I'm saying, amen. And that's something I need to learn and we all need to grow in. When he is your fill and you're walking in his love, things like loneliness vacates, powerlessness, addictions, lust, lukewarm living, broken heritage, and worry and fear. I thought about this last night. Sons and daughters don't get pieces of the Father, they get his fullness. So just a rundown, Paul's prayer. It all starts with him and his glory and his goodness, and that by his glorious riches, his unending supply of his goodness and glory, we would be strengthened through the Holy Spirit to purify our inner self, that he would own every part of our house. And it's through faith that we give him everything, to be able to clean out the things that hinder us from being walking in faith and obedience, that we would comprehend in his limitless love and the fullness of God. There is so much more than just knowing he loves you. And I'll say this again, as I've been saying over the last few weeks, this season, whether we grab onto it or not, is an amazing opportunity for all of us to slow down and to look at him and to run in our hearts after everything and anything he's had. He's calling a lot of folks out on the mat. The beautiful thing is about that is he is building those who are open and want him more. And this could be a season of revival. We want a revival in the streets, but we have to long for a revival in here and in these walls and in our homes too. So my prayer is that perfect love would cast out all fear. That you would be praying this week, just walking through some of this, even in your house churches or in your D group times or your discipleship time, that this, like, hey, let's talk about the fullness of God and be longing and praying for ourselves and for one another, that God would just come in, that carnal man would move out and the fullness of God would come into our hearts. And in through this season of not being able to hold on to, you know, it's like, I've been in a subway before and there's something funky that happens when you have to grab onto a bar, but sometimes you get pushed and moved in the middle. You got nothing to grab onto and you're all, there's something that happens that makes you have to really count on what's beneath you when you don't have anything to grab on. And I believe that that is a blessing in the Father right now. I love you. Let me pray for you. And, man, I hope you're having a great morning. God, I just pray over my family. I pray over friends. I pray over men and women that are tuning into this maybe for the first time. And I just pray more than anything that everybody that's struggling with fear or losing their jobs or stuff going on with their health, God, I just pray that you'd meet them right now in the middle of that room. And God, you'd love them so deeply. Then, Lord Jesus, they would be reminded of the solid rock that we stand on. God, thank you for calling us on the mat of our faith, because we don't want to gain this world and lose our souls. Lord, we want you. We want to live for you. We want to represent you. Heaven is our home. And God, thank you for reminding us that this place is so fragile and so temporary, but it makes me look to the heavens, which is so unbreakable and so eternal. God, thank you for our family. Lord, I can't wait till we're back together again. And Lord, we love you, and Lord, we pray that we would take every opportunity by your Spirit in this season for your glory and to honor you and to grow the kingdom of God. In Jesus' holy, precious name, amen. I love you. Have a good week.